Let's open our Bibles now in Revelation chapter 2. We will cover the verses 1 to 7, which speak about a letter to the church in Ephesus. You can blame Shadash for that. He sent me so many pictures of the churches that I started to study the seven letters again. Then I decided to preach in Revelation because of many of those things. So we will start tonight with the first letter to the church of Ephesus. Let's read chapter 2 of Revelation. This is what God says to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have these against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet these you have. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Let's close our eyes in prayer. Our God, please help us while we study your holy scriptures. Please help us to see the greatness of your Son, Jesus Christ. And help us to understand his words to this church. And may we can see ourselves in front of Jesus. And may we can be conformed to his image. Help us, be with us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Dear brothers, this is the first letter to the seven churches. And this is a specific moment in the church life that we never saw before. Today we studied in the morning about Stephen and how persecution would start in Jerusalem because of his preaching. But at this time in Revelation, the persecution was much more bigger than it happened in the beginning. By this moment, the church was being destroyed in all the cities of the Roman Empire. They were taking the Christians and using them to illuminate the streets in the night of the Roman cities. They were being destroyed by many dangerous animals. They were being used to make fun, to bring fun to other evil persons. The church was completely lost. But the book of Revelation brings a message to this church saying that they were not alone. the whole book of Revelation will not speak about their challenges, but it will speak about how God was bringing hope and how God was taking care of His church among all those tribulations. And specifically in these chapters 2, 3, and 4, we will see God speaking specifically with seven of those churches. We know that the church of Jesus Christ by that time were much bigger than just these seven churches, but they were representing the whole body of Jesus Christ. We need to understand also that those churches, those seven churches, they cannot be applied to any kind of churches today. They do not represent a denomination or a specific church or, for example, Walker. Walker cannot see herself in one of these seven churches. These letters were sent to specific churches in the past, and their problems are different from our problems. Their challenges were different from our challenges. And of course, God spoke to them what they need to listen by that time. And God is speaking with us through this word in different ways today. And this is what we need to understand. These letters will not speak to this whole body, but this letter will speak to us individually, because we can apply many of those things that Jesus Christ will say to His church to ourselves. We maybe already passed through many different situations and tribulations in our lives, and probably during your life you were part of Ephesus Church or Pergamon Church. It depends on where are you right now. So probably you will remind while we are covering these letters for a time in your life that you passed through the same problems, or maybe you are dealing with these problems right now and you need to come back to your God and repent and change. But here we will see God speaking specifically to the church of Ephesus. And we need to see also that here God is exactly among the believers. This is something that we cannot lose from our minds in any part of the book of Revelation. The picture is Jesus Christ being exalted, not anymore as the Son of God who died in the cross, but as the Lord who sits in the throne. He is walking around the seven lampstands. And He was not only walking, but He was taking care of them, watching them, serving them, loving them, taking care of all His church. And this picture is amazing because the contrast here is giant. In their eyes, through their eyes, they were seeing persecution. They were seeing their friends, their families being murdered by the Roman Empire. But then God sent to the church a letter saying that in a spiritual place, God, through the person of Jesus Christ, was taking care of every one of His children. And this is amazing. It's amazing to see that God is taking care of them, because if He was taking care of them, He's taking care of us today. That is why we can have sure that He knows us. He knows our minds. He knows everything that we are passing through. He knows your problems and He knows everything that you are doing well and the bad things too. And He is with you all the time. He is taking care of you while you are sleeping. He is taking care of your family, of your children, of those who are sick. He is here right now. This is what God is saying. But let's move to what God said to this church in Ephesus. He starts saying that He was speaking through this church through an angel. God used this angel in many places in Revelation. It was a vision. It was not something that John really saw. It was a vision of what would happen in the future. But this part of the letter speaks about the present time for them, or past, of course. And He said to the angel, "Say this, write this to the church." And He shows to this church who He was, saying, "The words of Him who holds the seven stars in His right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands." It's interesting because for every church, Jesus Christ presents Himself differently. If you go to the other letters, you will see that He will not present Himself as the Lord who has in His hands the seven stars and the seven gold lampstands. He here is presenting Himself as Jesus, who is in control of everything. He's saying to His church that they are dealing with a force, with a God who is the powerful and only powerful God. He's presenting Himself like this because this church specifically was passing through a situation that the other churches were not passing through. The church in Ephesus was probably the biggest church by that time, and the city in Ephesus was the biggest city by that time. It was the center of the culture where all the new stuff goes and establish. It was the place where everyone goes to enjoy life, enjoy the pleasures of life. They were being there to use themselves and to spread all kinds of beliefs, and everything that could happen by that time, it would happen first in Ephesus. So the challenge for this church was bigger than the challenge for many churches. That is why we will see they facing many different challenges. They were not only being killed, being murdered, but they were trying to destroy this church through many different situations inside the church. They were dealing with doctrine. They were dealing with their faith, their belief, and they were still fighting for their own lives. So many different tribulations for them. But God is presenting to them, and God is saying, "Why are you afraid? I am the God who has the seven stars in my right hand and who is walking among the seven golden lampstands." Can you see the greatness of this God? Can you see that He's just telling to them that they, of course, would be afraid of the tribulations, but they should not be afraid of not being in the right place that Jesus Christ wanted them to be. This is something that we need to see in the church of Ephesus. They were struggling with everything that God had planned to them to fight against it. This is something that many believers doesn't like to see. We don't like to hear that we need to deal with tribulations, that we need to deal with things that will be uncomfortable to us and will break our hearts and will make us unhappy. But God uses suffering to make us stronger and to make us serve Him better. And this is why, until today, the Church of Jesus Christ is passing through many tribulations. God continues to work in His church, and He's working in the church of Ephesus, and He's working on us today. But what He said to this church, let's move to verse 2. He said, "I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tasted those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false." He's speaking first good things about his church. He's speaking that this church in Ephesus was dealing very well with many doctrine problems. They were being very good in explaining the Word of God and explaining the gospel and explaining their belief. And they were not only showing to the world a good doctrine, but they were also fighting against those who were bringing a false doctrine to the Church of Jesus Christ. This here is represented by the apostles. Many came to them saying, "Look, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ." It's different from our days, because by that time, many of the church could have contact with Jesus Christ personally. They didn't have many situations by which we can say that they could not find in the past Jesus Christ by themselves. Like John was still alive and he saw Jesus Christ. He saw all the miracles. He saw everything happening. So many other guys could be part of it too. But we need to see that today this is not possible anymore. Do you know how we can know if someone is an apostle? Ask him his ID. If he has 2,000 years old, it is able to him to be an apostle, because maybe he saw Jesus Christ and all his signs and wonders. But if he didn't, he can't be an apostle. For us, it's easy, right? For us, it's very easy, but not for this church. They were there and they were saying, "Look, I saw the signs, I saw the wonders, and I know that Jesus said this." And then the church started to study the letters that they received from Paul, from John, from Mark. And they said, "No, this is not what God says. Look, John said that here. You are a false apostle of Jesus Christ." And they were fighting them. They were showing to them that they were not part of the church. They were just false apostles and false leaders. And they made that very well. God here is saying, "I know your works. I know that you are studying my Bible. I know that you know my word. I know that you know me as I present to you. And that is why you are being here accepted before me." And he continues in verse 3. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. They were fighting. They were continuing being persistent in staying Christ's paths, even with many challenges against them. Persistence. This is a very important thing that we need to have as a church. For many situations, we will deal with things and problems that will destroy your hearts. And we will not want to continue. In many situations, you will face problems that will take your hope and your joy. And the only thing that you will want is maybe to die. Many believers are passing through situations like that around the world. Many prayers that the Church of Jesus Christ until today are doing is for that maybe God can take them to heaven. Because they can't endure the challenges of this world anymore. They can't continue with so many problems and struggles. They are suffering deeply and they need help. And this is something that this church was passing through. But this is what God is saying to them. I know you are facing these things, and I praise you because you are still being my church. You are still following my paths. It doesn't matter if you are struggling in many different things. You are still being Christians. And this is something that we need to learn. It's funny because many times we don't have so many problems. Like only one small thing is enough to make someone to avoid church, to stop to praise the name of the Lord. Maybe sometimes the desires of their bodies and their minds, it's enough to make them stop to praise the name of Lord, of their Lord, and to follow their own feelings and desires. And the church today is filled with all of this. I already visit people who stop to attend the church because they had a fight with another family in the church. And I was thinking, what do you know about your faith? Is this a reason for stop to praise the name of God and to follow Him? Do you know your scriptures? Do you know that God says that you have a problem with someone, you should go to them, ask forgiveness, and give them forgiveness, and change, and become better, and continue to serve God, and continue to praise His name? We should not stop to be part of the church. We should not stop to serve the church because of any problem. We are not allowed to do those things. We are called to be servants of the Lord. And this is the purpose of this church. They were serving the Lord. They were seeing their brothers and sisters being killed. They were seeing people coming to church, trying to destroy the church, but they continued to serve. They saw people coming, false masters, and they were rebuking them and saying, we will stay with Christ because Christ is better than anything. And God was saying, I can see that you are doing good deeds. But there is something that we also need to understand. There is no perfect church in this word. Every church will have problems. And this church had one that is very bad. Verse 4 says, Jesus says, "But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first." Can you see that this apparently is something that is not a big problem? You lost the love that you had first. I remember a friend who were converted to the gospel when he was 19 years old. And he came to church and he was so excited. He started to read his Bible. He read maybe in 3 months the whole Bible. He was in every prayer meeting in the church. He was in every fellowship. He never lose one service. He was completely dedicated to Christ and to his church. And one day, another friend of mine, he was already converted for a long time, he said to him, "Don't worry, that will pass through. You will not be like that for a long time. It passed with me, it passed with everyone around here. In the beginning, we have this fire, but suddenly, it passed away." I found that guy maybe 2 years after that. I moved. And when I found him, he said that fire was not present in his life anymore. It passed away. And actually, today, he's not a very good believer. I don't know actually if he still believes in Jesus Christ. But he became like a zombie at church because he stopped to read his Bible. He stopped to pray to his God. He stopped to attend to the services. He stopped to do everything that could bring him to the presence of God. And of course, if you do that, you will just kill your relationship with your God. And maybe you will kill your own faith. And this is the guilty that this church is being here. God is saying, you lost your first love. You lost your love for the God that saved you from the devil. You lost the love that you have had for Jesus Christ as your only Savior. You lost your love for everything that represents Jesus Christ on you. You are completely lost. That is what represents losing this love. But God, as a good father, Jesus, speaks to them in verse 5 that they should remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. One thing that we need to understand is that when we face the greatness of our Lord, we will never be able to forget that anymore. I don't know if you know what I am talking about. I'm speaking about that fire in our minds and in our hearts. When we read a passage in scriptures, which says, you were lost, but now you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you realize that this is true for you, you feel a joy that cannot be explained. You start to celebrate the name of Jesus, because there is nothing better than realize that you will never, ever be taken by His hand. This is something that we can't forget, that we can't rejoice when we remember. This is something that God is saying, remember those things. Remember that things that you feel when you face Jesus Christ for the first time. When you realize that He is your Master, that He is your Lord, that He is your Savior. Did you know what I am talking about? Do you have that in your heart? Do you have that in your head? I still can feel it. I know that my God lives. I know that even if Satan comes through me and destroy my body and destroy my mind and destroy my family and take everything I have, I still will be saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is everything we need. This is everything we need. We cannot lose our love by Christ. This is what make us continue. This is what make us persevere in the presence of God. Without that, we will be lost. Without that, the devil will take our hope from him, and we will be lost in this world. What to do? How will will be your future? And now that happened, and this is terrible. Which I should do? I don't know. I'm lost. No. If you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord, you can have sure that He will take care of you. And this is what Jesus is telling them. Can you remember? Can you remember the things that you have fallen? Can you remember the greatness of your Lord? Can you remember the greatness of Jesus? If you remember, repent. Repent. Can you see? Jesus is not coming to them to bring justice when He says the truth. He's coming to them to bring hope among all the tribulations. Oh, you lost your love. Repent and do the works you did at first. You still have your Bible in your house, right? You still have your knees to bow down before your Lord, right? You still have a place in your house where you can be alone with God to pray and to repent and to show yourself as you should before the God Almighty, asking Him forgiveness and professing your faith to Him again. I know you have. So repent and come back to the works that you did at first. You still have time. This is what God is saying to His church. Ephesus, you still have time. You are still alive. You are still a church of Jesus Christ. You need to repent and come back to me. But pay attention. What He will say in the next verse. Verse 7, actually. He who has an ear, let him hear that the Spirit says to the churches, to the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. But for those, I will come back now to verse 5, who doesn't repent. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. There are two promises here. The promise, why did I read first verse 7 and then I read verse 5? Because the promise for this church was in verse 7. Verse 5 is only if they don't accept to repent. So Jesus was saying to them, look, I am your God. I am your Lord. And if you repent, I will show you that you are part of the people of God and you will eat with me in the tree of life in heaven. You will be in the paradise with God. You have everything you need in Jesus Christ. But if not, I will remove your lampstand. What is the bad news about the church of Ephesus? It's because God took out their lampstand. If you go to that city today, the real one, you will see that they does not exist. God took his lampstand and he moved his lampstand. And God is doing that through the ages. Christianism was great in Europe. And today, you will not find a good church there anymore. And then God moved his lampstand to the United States, to America. And the gospel was great, but the historian says that the church in America is in decline. It's going down. Because the devil is attacking the church and he's destroying the church. You probably know many not believers who were before part of this congregation. You probably know many who already said in a loudly voice that they believed in Jesus Christ. And now they believe in many crazy things. And they profess their wrongly faith everywhere. And they are spreading all this crazy stuff. Because they don't believe in Jesus Christ anymore. And God is saying to his church, look, repent. Otherwise, I will take your lampstand out. We are feeling the same in Brazil, in South America. We are seeing God calling his church to repentance. And this is happening everywhere. Why? Because the devil is still working. He's still attacking the church. He's still trying to destroy our faith. And he will use everything he can to make you not believe in Jesus Christ anymore. But you have what you need here. You know Jesus. You know your master. The only thing we can do before a great God like this is repent. And to show how good this church was, in verse 6 he says something good again about this church. Yet these you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Those called Nicolaitans, I'm sorry if I'm not pronunciate correctly, but those were those who thought that they could be Christians, they could be believers, by the same time that they were leaving the Roman Empire with everything they offered to them. It was a people who believed that they could be in a service like this, in a Sunday morning, or a Sunday evening, and on Monday they could enjoy their lives, drinking a lot and having sexual relationships with many people. They were enjoying lives and saying, okay, God still loves me. He's love. It doesn't matter if I am doing bad things here. I know God loves me. And of course, God said to them, I'm glad that you hate those that I hate. And this is something that we need to see here too. There is an irony here. We are seeing God says that their love is their problem and their hate is their quality. Can you see that? What is the problem of this church? They lost their love. And which is their quality? They hate those who are living their lives without Christ. And God says, look, I hate them also, but I can't abandon the love. You can't do that. There is an irony here. And this irony is still important today. You already heard about those who preach that God is love, and love is everything we need, right? Well, here we are facing a God who says, I hate those who do that. So, if God hates them, I want to be in His side and not be against Him. We need to deal with these truths because God will never change His word. God still will say that those who follow His commandments will be part of His body. But those who disobey Him, those who fight against Him, they will never be part of His people. And they will be judged by the end, and they will be sent to hell. This is true. Hell is true. Heaven is true. There are two ways and nothing else. And if you are with God, if you know God, if you are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, if He is your Lord, you will go with Him to heaven. But if you say that you don't believe Him, that you reject the gospel of Jesus, that you don't accept anything from His Bible, and you will not follow His commandments, that you don't care about anything of this, do not think that you will receive salvation. Jesus is also a judge, and He will judge you for everything that you made in this world. This is the truth of the gospel. And God is speaking this to His church right now. We need to understand why is this important for us, of course. We need to see at first that we need to do a good work while we are following Jesus Christ. We need to be the best Christians we can be in this life. You are not allowed only to receive the gospel and rejoice with salvation. You need to understand that you need to be ready to see the false gospel coming to your church, coming to your ears, and to reject it. This is important in this text. You need to understand that you need to be ready to say that something comes from God or not. The question then is, are you ready? You hear me preaching tonight. How do you know I am speaking the truth? How do you know that I am not trying to bring to you a false gospel. If you don't know the Word of God, you will not know if I am speaking through God or if I am speaking with the words of Satan. Can you see? You need to evaluate those things. And to do that, you need to know the Word of God. You need to know your God. You need to have a relationship with Him. You need to follow His commandments. You need to live your life to Him. Only through that, you will be found among those who God says, I know your works. I know that you are fighting against false witness of Jesus Christ. I know that you are doing good deeds in this world, attacking them and fighting against them. This is the first application. But we also need to see if we are walking in a true love with Jesus Christ. This is something important here. It's interesting to see how today people trust and believe that the only way to live a Christian life is fight against all the false doctrines in this world. I know many preachers and people who are only fighting and fighting, and they can't stop fighting because they think this is what makes them believers. But the Bible doesn't say that fighting is only, it's everything that we need. The Bible says that we need love also. You need to stop fighting sometime and start to rejoice in the presence of your Lord. And you need to spread not only those things that will fight against the false doctrines, but we need to spread to the gospel, the beauty, the good news of Jesus Christ. This is something that we need. We don't speak only against politics and those things. We also speak about a wonderful God who sent His Son to this world to pay the price of our sins. This is hope, this is love, and this will save us and save those who are around us. Being filled with love to God. If you are filled with love, you will spread wonderful good news. You will say to everyone around you about how God is taking care of you and your family. You will speak and be a witness of Jesus Christ saying, look, I know we are passing through many tribulations, but God is present here. He's taking care of us. I still have my church. I still have my family. Everyone is doing well. Some of them are sick, but God is taking care of them. They have the medicine they need. They are being treated by good doctors. God is in control. God is taking care of His church. The presence of His love is real. We can see it. And you should see it. We cannot lose our hope. We cannot lose our joy. This is part of being called by the name of Jesus Christ. Can you remember how the apostles behaved when they were beat by the high priest and the Sadducees? They were destroyed, their bodies were destroyed. But they went to the church praising the name of God because they were still alive and they were able to proclaim the gospel for them. It's not about our bodies, our pocket, our lives is about serve God with a joyful heart and feel that He's here being your God. This is great. This is the gospel. But we also need to see that we need to hear the voice of the Spirit. Those who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the last thing that Jesus speaks to this church. And this is something that he's trying to speak to us every day in our lives. Hear the voice of your Lord. Hear that he is trying to speak to you about everything in your life. He's trying to guide you. He's trying to lead you. He's trying to make you happy even among tribulations. This is what God makes with his people. He's here and he's speaking with us. There is nothing greater than this. Can you talk with the president of the United States today? If you give him a call, do you think he will answer you? Of course not, probably not. If I call to the president of Brazil, I'm sure he will think I am asking money or something like that. But you can close your eyes and speak with the God Almighty. And he will speak to you through his scriptures. You have access to the God of everything. Why are you spending time in other things and not with the God who saved you from that? Can you see? Those who has an ear, hear what the Spirit is telling to his church. We have an opportunity to change our lives and dedicate ourselves to God. You will see that God will bring hope to you and hope to this church. Because this is what God makes. So follow him and listen to his voice. Let's pray. Close our eyes. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we celebrate your name. We praise your name because of your glory and power. We ask you, Lord, that may you can change our hearts through the Holy Spirit and open our ears to listen your voice. We ask you, Lord, that may we will be count among those who repent and follow your deeds, your ways. Oh Lord, please don't let us be lost in this word. Don't let these people here follow other ways besides your way. Don't let them believe in other things and not in the scripture, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't let the devil attack us and destroy your faith, but make us persevere in you and trust only in you. And may we will be able to see that you are walking among us tonight. Even here, right now, you are hearing our prayers. You are looking to our hearts. You are with us in every problem in our lives, in every tribulation. And you are guiding us to you. Oh Lord, please fill our hearts with joy for being in your presence. And renew our love to you. Renew our love to your scripture, to prayer, and for everything else that involves being a Christian in this world. Make us love you more than everything in this world. And may we will be able to praise your name through our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name, in Jesus, the Lord of the church.